Well, hello and welcome back to Witchcast, guys. My name is Julia, and today we have a very special guest. Her name is Raven, and she has become a very good source of magic to the community of witches and to me. She is very knowledgeable, guys, so you're going to love her. So, Raven, please say hello to the listeners.
Hello.
Yes, perfect. So, just want to say happy Friday, everyone. Hope you guys are having a great start to the weekend. So, want to talk about just how me and Raven met. First off, me and Raven actually met through the occultish Discord server, and I don't know if you guys listened to the last episode. I interviewed occultish, and he actually came up with this Discord server for, you know, online witches. Everyone can like join. It's really, really fun. It's a good way to meet other witches. And I met Raven through there, and you know, she's very, very fun and energetic, and I love her. Of course. And I just want to let you guys know that Raven is actually really, like I said, I can't say this enough. She's very knowledgeable. She loves to share her wisdom, and I think she's been sharing a lot with me, and I've been learning so much. But I kind of want to talk about how she got into magic and where it started. So Raven, you want to tell the listeners how you got started?
Sure. Yeah. And I'll, it started like 20 years back, so I'll try and keep it short.
No worries.
So it's like late 90s. I was about 10 or 11. Actually remember this day pretty well. I was in the car with my mom on the way to Walmart, and I asked her, it was near Halloween. Like, so it was kind of course on topic, but you know, I asked my mother, like, do witches have a religion? And she just looks at me and is like, oh, honey, basically saying like, wait till we get home. I have some books for you. She promptly shared her books, her basic Wicca books by Silver Ravenwolf, and my preteen becoming teenager mind took off with them.
God, I love it.
When I was in high school, I was casting circles every day, just about every evening, and astral projecting was a major focus back then. Fast forward a little bit, I hit college days, and I become rather skeptical as my brain starts absorbing more and more logic. I start applying that more and more to my everyday life, and my magic kind of fell to the wayside. I remained, you know, always like the witch aesthetic always held a very big portion of my heart, but you know, my brain was like, but it wasn't until, fast forward another chunk of years, and I'm graduated, been working. I feel like this with a lot of people during, this pandemic time, we've started, kind of retreating into ourselves and starting to look into ourselves. And when that happened for me, I started picking up the pieces of my scattered magic. I had wanted to bring, I felt a piece was missing, and I knew exactly what piece that was. And so, with that, I took to Instagram because I'm a visual person. Found occultish, and I was like, yes, I can vibe with this group. Promptly joined the Discord. Was actually, I think I followed occultish on Instagram and then promptly joined the Discord because I am a PC gamer master race. And so, you know, Discord, I was like, okay, this is my, I feel at home in Discord. And so from there, that's how we got here pretty much.
I love it. That's a really good story to kind of like tell, you know, beginner witches and everything, because you're allowed to have moments where you have doubt, you know, and that's okay, you know. So I think that's very important. And, you know, guys, I want to let you guys know that this is going to be a series with Raven. We're calling it The Portal, but, you know, that can always change. We're going to be talking about like a lot of different topics, and, you know, just get ready to get used to her voice and my voice, because it's going to be a roller coaster of emotions. That's for sure. Before we get into the topics we're going to go over today, let's pull a tarot card of the day and let's see what's going on. Okay. Just give me 1 second. I'm just going to shuffle, and then we'll pull a card, and then we're going to go over it together.
All right.
Okay, perfect. So I actually got this King of Swords, and that's going to be in reverse. So I just want to let you guys know firsthand off, reverse cards aren't a bad thing. They don't mean that your day is going to be terrible or your life's going to be terrible. It's not that dramatic, I promise you. Reverse cards kind of just like give you a more in-depth of what the card is trying to tell you. So we got the King of Swords, right? So whenever a sword suit comes up, it's time to make a plan, let go of worry. And it is an air element, or it coincides with the air element. So of course, you know, with air, things kind of just like go in the wind, and you kind of just like, you're very free and very just like passionate about just letting things go, right? And so anytime you see like a king suit, it kind of just goes over with authority, right? So it, you see like this figure, and it's actually a woman sitting in the chair. It's like a huge throne, which I think is very powerful, because, you know, you think of kings and you think it's a male figure, but this one, this deck actually wants to portray like powerful women. So I think that's really cool. And I know that with this card, it kind of applies knowledge with a sense of community. That's what it means to have a King of Swords. It kind of brings like everyone together, and it kind of makes everyone really, really like a tight unit. And typically with King of Swords, it's mostly logical and analytical. It's kind of like the warrior goddess. What was it? Athena. Athena? I think so. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, she is the goddess of war. So that's what it makes me kind of think about.
And wisdom.
Yeah. And wisdom. Absolutely. Yes. And so
strategical, you know, planning.
That's so true. And then, you know, I think King of Swords has like, it brings like a sharp intelligence and a clear foresight of what's going to happen. Yeah. So this King of Swords, this card is actually bringing, you know, a sense of a battle plan for me in Raven's Portal series, which I think is going to be very fun, very cool. It's very well structured, I think. So Raven, what do you think?
I 100% agree. It's very, I feel like that card is really affirming. And for me, like the reverse meaning may mean a bit less of structure, more of free flowing, you know, just having a conversation, two witchy friends, you know, just talking about the mysteries and where we stand in them, because where are we at?
We are at the point where we're talking about like conspiracy theories. We're talking about like different types of witches and witchcraft and all things magic, really.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I want to talk about today the three topics that we're going to go over. It's actually going to be the basic tools for the witch. We're going to talk about Book of Shadows and grimoires. And we're going to talk about moon phases and what they can mean for everyday life and spell work. Moon phases are very important, so we're going to get to that later. But I kind of want to get started first with basic tools for the witch. So we're going to go first with the altar. I think it's a very key element into building your own tools for witchcraft. And, you know, I think the altar is very sacred space where you can meditate towards, you know, and it doesn't have to be filled with like crystals, like a gazing crystal ball, or like, you know, like a dead animal or something, like, I don't know, something crazy. It could be just like a random, you know, like table you had around, and you can just put like a candle on it, or you can put like a tarot card if you have tarot cards on it, and meditate with it. It doesn't have to be something that's incredibly fancy or like witchy aesthetic. It can just be something that you feel comfortable with and something that you'll like use for everyday life. So what do you think about that?
I like to express that altars can be as minimal as you, as just being you, just finding your center, or it can be as elaborate as the beautiful pictures you see on Instagram. There's no right or wrong. It's the place where you return to center. It's the place where you can focus your efforts, remind yourself what's important, remind yourself what's going on around you, like the current seasons. You can also place anything on your altar that you feel you want to charge or cleanse, or, you know, something you want to put a piece of your spirituality into. Altars can be stationary. Altars can be portable. Mine right now is kind of a mix of both. I'm a painter, and so I have collected over the years a whole bunch of portable easels, portable boxes to shove all my paints and paintbrushes in. Well, I turned one of those boxes into a portable altar that sits on an empty bookshelf. I kind of display it open. That way I have a stationary place when I'm at home. And then if I want to go outside, you know, I can easily just put what I need in there, close it up and take it with me. I've even, back long, long time ago, I've even had an altar that was, all it was this little bitty treasure box, like not even 5 inches long, like 3 inches tall. And inside of it, I had a little vial of salt, an acorn, a little bitty seashell. And I had a thing of water, but I feel like I lost that part. Like at one point I didn't even have like a representation of all the elements in it. It was just my little box that I could use to help anchor me, return me to center, you know, when things get crazy.
Oh my God. So, yeah. I absolutely love that. The traveling altar, I think, is becoming very, very popular. A lot of people, especially witches, or, you know, I like to call them closet witches. Mm-hmm. They can't really practice magic in front of, you know, either their family or their friends. So they kind of have to have like a travel altar where they can go to like the park or somewhere sacred, and they can kind of just like pray to the elements. But, you know, like I was saying with altars, my altar specifically, I have a lot of different crystals that I use to help heal myself or heal others. And we'll get into like a crystal episode later on, but like crystals, I think, are very important. Not only are they beautiful, but they add like a sense of, it just makes things mystical. You know what I mean? Yes. And God knows I have so many candles. Jeez Louise, I have so many candles. And you know, I just want to give you guys like a quick like advice. You can buy candles anywhere, like the dollar store. Oh my God, those candles are a dollar, and they're really cool, and like they're really good quality candles. And you can like, I just have so many candles, it's ridiculous. So I have my candles, I have my crystals, and I actually meditate a lot with sigils. What I do with sigils is, we'll get into that episode later of what they are, but I like to make my sigils on actual like bathroom tiles. And I learned this from Witch of the Wanderlust. She actually has bathroom tiles that she gets like a permanent marker, and she writes her sigils on it, and you can use that to meditate with. And so that's what I do a lot. Like, I have one with all the elements. I have sigils that have all the different planets. I have all kinds of things that I can use, but it's definitely portable. And, you know, I like that what you said earlier about having like the seasons change for your altar. My altar is always changing. It never is one coherent like thing. It's like a being. It's like alive, right?
Yes.
So it's always going to be changing. It's always going to be growing. And you know, it's a beautiful thing. And not to say that you need to have an altar to be a witch. Any of these tools that I was mentioning, you don't need them to become a witch. You know, a witch is something that is very important. I think you need to grasp is that witch is, I feel like it's just using your intuition, like first and foremost, using your intuition, your gut instincts, and what you actually feel about like the elements in your life and what you feel is like practical. Like, you don't have to have, like I said, any of these things to make yourself, quote unquote, you know, be a witch. It's very, very personable. The way you practice is very unique, and you don't have to copy others. You don't have to, you know, like make it word from a book. You can make it however you want to make it. And you can kind of pull pieces from other witches and kind of make it your own. So I just thought I'd mention that.
I feel like when you put your own flair into it, it gives it its own, like this extra dimension of magical. Like the sigils you've drawn, I've seen the pictures of, I believe it was the planetary images on those pieces of tile. And I remember going, like, the shape of the tile looked purposeful and magical. And like, I thought it was, I was like, wow, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
But you just put it on tile. I was like, oh, it looks so cool though.
Yeah. So. And you know, I got those tiles from Home Depot, and they came like in a 20 pack for like $2.
Nice.
I mean, like, what, you can't really, that's a steal. You can do whatever you want with those tiles. And He doesn't have to be sigils. You can write like spells on there that you feel that are practical. You can do a lot of things of different, you know, I call them ingredients. You can find ingredients anywhere. And at, like, you can go to like a grocery store, or you can go to the mall, or you can go to like a metaphysical shop. It doesn't have to be that, but you can find things everywhere you go. And you don't have to go to stores either. You can go outside in your backyard and find things.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm all about like, I don't really call myself a nature witch, but I like to use the elements. And so like on my altar, I use, I have like a little like mason jar of just moon water that I made. And I use that as the water element on my altar. And I have, of course, candles for fire. I use Himalayan sea salt or just regular sea salt for earth. And then I have a flute or a dream catcher for air. So it could be very eclectic. It doesn't have to be any of those items, but those are just items that I feel that I'm accessible towards and that I feel would be appropriate for my altar. But, you know, like anything is, it's up for grabs, really. So.
Yes. Yes. What do you think? Absolutely. Well, I was going to say, if for the listeners out there who are nature witches and you're just starting out and you don't have anything for your altar, walk outside. Find a local forest if you can, a little patch of trees, go and sit amongst them, maybe take 5 minutes, meditate on the sounds you hear around you. And when you open your eyes, you will be surprised to the trinkets that the forest has left for you to collect and take back to your altar. So I definitely do recommend doing that. That's, I found a wand that way. And I always, well, I'm always collecting acorns so I can, because I like to think of the tops as hats for fairies. So I'll decorate them and leave them as little gifts for fairies and stuff like that.
That is so amazing. I love that you have little ideas like that to kind of like give like as an offering, which is like,
oh, yeah. Oh, well, this, I mean, I read of like, you know, it was something I picked up amongst my study journey, but yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's very cool. So I think the next topic that I think we're going to dive into that flows very naturally for us is having a book of shadows or a grimoire. I think that, you know, it's very important that you have at least a journal to, you know, record your experiences, to record, you know, your daily life as a witch. Even you can use it towards anything. And, you know, with the Book of Shadows, it doesn't have to be like this like 100-pound book where the pages are like old and, you know, like it looks crispy, and it doesn't have to be written with like a quill and ink. And, you know, it doesn't have to be anything like that. Like, I know when I first started my Book of Shadows, it was actually in just a, it was in a red journal that I thought was powerful. It was just a, it's basically a bullet journal that I used. And,
yeah,
you know, I think bullet journaling and witchcraft really tie into each other a lot, because you can use a bullet journal, like it could be like a, either a dot grid or like a square grid. It's really easy for you to kind of just like write your thoughts and feelings, your spells, research even. It's really, really important that I think that you have at least some sort of journal to kind of like I said, record your findings. And my Book of Shadows, actually, it evolved from like scraps of paper everywhere. I actually had mine stapled together because I didn't have a journal. And so I had like all these different pieces of paper everywhere. And I actually, you know, I stopped being lazy, and I have all this time from being in quarantine. You know, why not put it together, you know? And so I actually have it in a binder, and I made my different dividers for it. So I have like topics in my dividers anywhere from like herbal, like herbology, candle magic, deities and gods and goddesses. You know, it just really depends on what you want to study. And I like to put in at least maybe 2 or 3 pages a day, depending on how I feel. It's a lot of work for sure, like 100% a lot of work. But once you kind of get like your Book of Shadows together, or I like to call it like a cookbook, it just really starts flowing, and you can like look back at it and be like, oh, so that day I did that and it really worked, or oh shit, I did that and it failed. You know, it's just like it's a trial and error book. You know, it's very, very easy to use. And, you know, I wanted to ask Raven, how do you make your Book of Shadows, or do you have one?
So, funny story.
I'm ready.
I do have a Book of Shadows. And it was kind of, actually an accidental Book of Shadows. I wasn't planning on, I wasn't planning on having one yet. You know, I was just, like I said, just starting to pick up my little pieces. And actually this kind of takes me back to what also pushed me into this, back during March. I was kind of, so just a little short story, short derail. When I started coming back to my witchcraft ways, it came from a place where I was, you know, for the longest time I had been living, kind of letting life happen to me versus, you know, keeping up and manifesting my own desires. I was just going with the flow, and it kind of put me in a haze more often than not. And so I went first back to bullet journaling, and I was doing some, you know, picking up some inspirations, and I found this website called I think it's bujowitchcraft.com. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can, this is my site. And she has this, the author, she has this, this guide that you can follow that follows the getting things done, way of thinking. And within that, I just followed her, the instructions she had set out. She had read all the books, and she basically regurgitated the information for her readers to, it's simplified it, helped us pick it up. So I grabbed a journal. I have a whole bunch of empty journals because it's just a thing. I just have too many. And so I started, like, the first page, I just started on this journey. Like, the first step is to just list out all of the things you have going on in your life that you need to get done, you know, just the basic mundane stuff. And so I titled it My Productivity Branch Sprouts. Wrote those down, sketched out a how to take action kind of thought map. And then it started to transform. I started writing down intentions of, for example, you know, I will fully immerse myself in the present. And that, at that point, it just kind of slowly but surely turned into my Book of Shadows. I started journaling in it. I wrote notes, like, it's a mix of journaling and a mix of, like, how to do a review of, you know, all the things going on in your life. And then it was a tarot card reading, and then it was a gratitude page. And then now, like, I have a couple pages on the moon. I have, it's mostly journaling now. And so now it's containing all my notes on, witchcraft as I'm, because I put myself back in the I feel a baby witch level, even though I have experience. It picking up the pieces is faster now, though, at least, because it's like picking up a bike after having not rode one in a long time, and which helps me make it easier to you know, kind of put in my own words and simplified words, you know, that to others. And maybe that's why you think I'm so knowledgeable, but I promise you I'm really not.
No, I don't. That, like, I disagree with that 100%. Not the whole, aww, like, you building a amazing encyclopedia of things.
No,
I don't believe for one second that you are not knowledgeable. You are very knowledgeable. Aww. I've learned so many things from you already, and like you were saying, you know, like, having a I almost said bullet journal. It basically is a bullet journal, but your Book of Shadows.
Yeah,
it really is like your altar. It's a living thing.
Yes.
It's always going to be growing, no matter how you want it to grow. It's up to you. It's your perception and, like, perceptive. But, like, my Book of Shadows, like, I am always writing things in, like, different journals and stuff, because I'm kind of a scatterbrain. Things kind of just, like, go everywhere, and then I'm starting to finally put the pieces together, like, you know, how you're putting your pieces together, and it's starting to become, like, really magical, you know?
Yeah, think, it's like a
go ahead.
I would say it's like an altar for your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I this is my definition. The differences between a grimoire and a book of shadows. Essentially, they're both kind of the same thing, except one of them is more private. The grimoire, you guessed it, is going to be the private one. For me, at least, my grimoire, I'm making like a lot of different pages in like this really cool looking journal that I found. It's going to be for, you know, for whoever is going to be finding it. And after I'm gone, whether it's for my kids or for their kids, it's going to be something that's going to be passed on. And I, you know, I think that's very private and personal. I don't like to share a lot of it to people, but like, I like to show like some of my family members what it looks like and what it could be like. Grimoires, like I said, is very similar to Book of Shadows. You have all the right elements. You just need to write in it. You got to just like do little things here and there to make it look kind of cohesive and have all your thoughts. I think what I like to do is I pull all the pages that I felt really worked in my Book of Shadows and I put it in my grimoire, the ones that are successful. So that way I have a record of exactly what worked, what day it was, what time, and I'm very precise. So, you know, I think, grimoires are very, very, very magical, and they're very unique and personable. I like to think of them as another cookbook. It's a cookbook volume 2. So, Raven, what do you think?
Well, first of all, are you sure you're not a kitchen witch?
I could be a kitchen witch. You know, I have a lot of cookbooks and I cook a lot. So you might be onto something.
Yeah. But we have to think on that. But to answer your question, yes, I absolutely agree with you. For me, the grimoire is kind of, it can indeed be so much similar to, so very similar to the Book of Shadows. Yeah. But it can also be like a witch's encyclopedia where she or he or they takes all the, you know, the work they've done that they want to hold on to over, you know, such as any rituals I write down in here in my Book of Shadows or spells. Like I may later rip those out and put them in my grimoire. So that way I can have like my Book of Shadows will be the more free form, just following the days as they go. All my grimoire will be just the collection of the magic I want to hold on to. So,
yeah, you said it a lot better than I did. I was rambling.
Oh, you stop it. I was too.
So I think the difference is they're not that big, but you know, they're enough for that you can distinct the two. But you know, I think it's really important that you at least have some sort of journal or record of your magical journey. That's always a good start. Like you said, like I said, I started with just pieces of paper that I stapled together. It doesn't have to be a journal or like something fancy. It could be anything. It could be like your diary or something, you know? But yeah, so next topic that I think is a really cool and very fun and very informational is going to be the moon phases and the moon. So, you know, I think Raven has a lot to offer to me and to everyone else because she is very well versed in moonology. And I'd love to learn as much as I can from her. And I think you guys are going to, this is a real treat for you guys. So, Raven, take it away.
Well, first of all, I have my mother to thank for what I do know about the moon. She works very closely with her. And like I even before this, we are doing this, I had a phone call with her and I asked her, I was like, oh, mom, walk me through your thoughts on the moon and the cycles and all that stuff. So, and I have some of that to bring with me today. I guess let's start, since we're kind of talking about the tools of the witch, we can talk about another tool of the witch, which is the moon water. What that is, that it's honestly just, it is, when people think of the moon water, they're probably overcomplicating it. It's one of the most simplest things. All it is H2O charged with lunar energies. Yeah. And it, you know, it can be water from a river, water from a creek, water from the tap. It will be whatever you have available to you. Don't worry or, you know, think it won't be good enough because it will, especially with your intentions set in it. And charging from the full moon, But one thing, though, that I'll mention, you don't have to, we don't only have full moon water. There's also new moon water, waning moon water, waxing moon water. And of course, these moon waters charged with the different aspects of the moon cycle will have different meanings for their uses within your spell work and rituals. Full moon is, of course, the most potent. It's full of that just radiating full moon energy. And then, of course, your waxing moon water will be more for inspiration, more for growth, pushing you forward. While on the other hand, waning moon water, that is more for banishment, letting go, et cetera. And then, of course, the new moon water is for pure inspiration, pure starting. If you plan on initiating yourself into any sort of path, that's great water to use during that time. But so is full moon water, you know.
I just want to say, guys, you know, Raven's bringing up a lot of good points about moon water and what types, but if you're in a pinch, any moon phase will do, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be specifically to, you know, the full moon or the new moon. It could be like it's still bathing in moonlight, so it's still going to get charged. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to throw that out there real quick.
You're not interrupting.
Okay, go ahead. Go back to the moon, the moonology knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, with that said, another thing that you shouldn't stress over either is if you sleep in that next morning and you don't make it quite before the sunrise, because who likes to wake up that early? Well, some people, more power to them people.
Not me. I'm sorry. That's not me.
So if the sun has hit your moon water, in my opinion, you know, of course there will be people who argue this. It's all up to how you want to work it in your path. But me personally, I don't, it's okay. When I get up, I do my morning routine and I go outside and get my water. In my head, I see it as the moonlight that you see is a reflection of the sun. Sure, it is filtered through the moon. However, it is still sunlight. And so that's why I don't see pure sun, you know, negating or, you know, just killing the charged moon water. So that's how I think on that.
Yeah. And, you know, when I make my moon water, of course, I have all the things that Rain was mentioning. You know, you got the H2O. Clearly, you need that. or else it'd just be an empty jar. But my moon water, what I like to do is I like to charge it with a crystal of my choice. Mm-hmm. For that day. I like to use clear quartz because I feel like it purifies it and makes it a little bit more potent. That's just for me. That's how I look at it. And yeah. I like to, I don't know if this is like a thing, but I like to charge it with a tarot card.
That's cool.
Yeah, I kind of just, you know, I do I spread my tarot cards on the floor, pick a card that feels right for the moon water, and I charge it with it. And, you know, it goes together with it. It's like their moving buddy, you know. So I kind of have a tarot card to go with it, so that way I can reflect on it, and then, you know, once I get that card again and it's spread, I'll be like, oh, so this moon water was, you know, made with this, and it's gonna be special, you know, something like that. But, you know, speaking cool. of yeah, thank you. Speaking of full moons, do you want to talk about the 2020 full moons and what they kind of represent?
Yeah. Let me pull that back up. One thing, though, I will point out that the different types of moon, I'm not very versed on what they mean, but I have, I do remember what the flower moon is for.
Yeah, no, it's all like, it's a learning process. You know, I don't know all absolutely. The different, moon phases or the moon, like the full moons and what they're called, because like they have stuff like the worm moon, which I have never heard of, a beaver moon, which I think is hilarious, sturgeon moon, which sounds like a fishy thing, And then they have the strawberry moon, which is coming up on June 5th. So
yeah,
it's coming up pretty fast. And so Raven, do you have like a kind of like an idea of what, you know, which moon is possibly what it could be? Or I don't want to put you on the spot. I just, you know, I was very curious.
You're fine. I do have Google right here.
Yes, Google.
The strawberry moon actually got its name from from Native American tribes. And I feel like that is with a lot of our full moons. Mm-hmm. Like I believe it's the same with the sturgeon moon, and even the flower moon. Or the flower moon is also known as the corn moon, and that's kind of a Native American thing. It's certain, not kind of. I don't mean to downplay that.
No.
And then we have today, June 5th, which is the strawberry moon.
Yes.
Next moon up, July 4th, is the buck moon, which is interesting because July 4th, no. I was wondering if deer are definitely not in season during the summer. And then following that is the sturgeon moon, August 3rd. And then we have the harvest moon, September 2nd. That's my favorite one.
Yay!
Well, and actually the next three are kind of, well, the next two, yeah. Hunter moon, October 1st.
October! Beaver moon.
Yes, it's soon. And then Beaver Moon is November 30th and the Cold Moon, December 29th. And we would have completed our full 13-month lunar calendar at that point.
Cool. And then it's going to be 2021. What? That's kind of a scary thought, but, you know, we're in quarantine, so we can't help but look forward to 2021, right? Hopefully it's a better year.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she just kind of went over the moons. I'm just going to kind of go over what the beginning ones were. We have the wolf moon, which is in January, and then the snow moon in February, the worm moon, which I think sounds really creepy, in March. And then she went to the pink moon, which is in April, flower moon in May, and then strawberry moon in June, buck moon, July, sturgeon moon, August, harvest moon, September, hunter moon, October, beaver moon, November, and cold moon, December. So it just varies on the dates. It's not like precise date, but those are the months that it coincides with. So just want everyone to kind of like get like an idea of what the full moons are going to be in 2020. Cause it's a lot of information for sure. But, you know, once you kind of get like used to looking at moon phases, it's going to be like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's going to be the sturgeon moon right now. I get it. Yeah. It's going to be the full moon. So,
So we'll definitely, maybe on a future episode, dive into the meanings of this, maybe do one on like the lunar year.
Yes. And that go
touch
so
on
cool.
each of these. I did just find the worm moon is named that. It's that's the full last full moon before the spring equinox. And it is the time when earthworms tend to start emerging from the ground.
Fun times. Ew, gross.
As the earth thaws. So yeah.
Okay. I know when to go inside now. So
the worms will get you.
The worms are gonna get me. No. Okay. So let's talk about the moon phases. And I know that you know that very well. So let's go over.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Excited. So when I start to talk about the moon cycle, well, just to kind of also get into why I'm always so fascinated by the moon, this is more so just kind of a theoretical talk, like, you know, what if kind of thing. But the moon governs the ebb and the flow of waves, right? With its cycles, they pull at, I'll have to do a little bit more research on the actual physical science behind it, because I would like to see exactly what of the cycle is causing that pull. But my brain, with that thought, that little bubble, thought bubble, my brain goes like, you know, we ourselves are over 75, over 80% water. Like, what does that do to our bodies, to ourselves? And I think you can kind of see that reflected in the moon cycles and the magic cycles that go with the moon as she waxes and wanes through her little calendar month through her seasons.
The seasons of the moon. I love it. Before we kind of get into that, I was kind of just curious, does for women, I know every woman hates this, but does it kind of affect your period or shark week, as I like to call it? How does it kind of play with that?
Right. I don't stay, but I have before spent quite a few months in cycle with the moon. The full moon brought out the full on shark week. Love it. But right now, you know, I'm kind of off, but I hear a lot of, like, I've seen discussions of witches, you know, flaunting being, you know, on cycle with the moon. And I find that so fascinating.
That is so interesting. Yeah. Like I said, I found some information about that. And then, I know that what's the, like, I'm just very curious. I have all these questions. I know I'm, like, you know, scattered right now, but, I saw that, you know, the dark moon is when, you kind of like start banishing things, and that's when you do blood magic, and that kind of coincides with, being on your period. Is that something that we can, you know, anything about, or?
Blood magic, I have not spent very much time researching at all. I've heard of it for sure. And it is definitely something I would love to learn more about, because that sounds very interesting. You know, your menstrual blood is so very potent with magic. You know, it was ready to create life. And so, you know, I wonder how that could work in spell work, aside from being a little messy, but
a little intense, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll definitely play on that with another episode. It's just something that kind of came up to me really quickly. I'm sorry, guys. Mm-hmm. I thought about it and I was like, blood magic, dark moon, what's going on here?
Yes. So you might have a calling there, kind of, you know, just telling you to dig into that.
Yeah, someone's like, Julia, get into blood magic. Do it. you can see, guys, it's very easy for us to talk to each other. I mean, like, we can talk about anything, but sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, go with the moon phases.
Oh, yeah, no problem. No, when you have your inspirations, you gotta spit them out. And if other people around are like, why? Just be like, sorry, not sorry. Or else you lose it. You know, you can't, your inspirations, you can't lose those. And that's not to harp on the getting things done methodology, but that is kind of what it's about. Like, as soon as you have a thought, you got to do something, you got to write it down. But yeah, anyways, definitely. Moon cycles.
moon magic. Let's do this.
Let's go through the cycles. Okay. We'll start at the new moon. This moon is for beginnings, new beginnings. Some dub this moon the dark moon. Others associate it with different aspects. The new moon ushers in the waxing phases, the growth of light into eventual fruition. Light is beginning to break, you know, bringing with it the time to set new intentions so that they may manifest during the vivacious time of the waxing moon that follows the new moon. This moon is also a great time for banishment magic, divination, kind of closing the door, cutting the ties, and starting anew. And then as the moon progresses, a Cheshire smile starts to come into view, the waxing crescent. Progress doesn't go very far without plan and preparation in place. So during this moon, I like to schedule time to do grounding meditation, ask myself, how will I accomplish the intention I set at the new moon? What does it look like when it's done? That's really a really important question to ask when you're planning. It will help you see what needs to be done, so you can break it down, you know. During this waxing crescent, you can even draw a card to kind of help you see how you want to accomplish your manifestation, your intention. But be sure to break it down into steps. Like I said, keep positive, and, you know, baby steps are the most sustainable steps for sure. But this is also a good time for success, magic, health, attraction, friendship, wealth, anything happy, indulgent. as you're starting to build the light within. Excuse me, I need to take a little drink of water.
No worries. That's actually really cool. So I didn't know that the waxing crescent was that kind of informative. I thought that it was mostly just, it reminds me of Sailor Moon. Sorry. No, you're good.
That's good.
I'm just having a good time with just thinking it's Sailor Moon. So you're fine.
No, but I do the same thing too. That like when I see any kind of crescent moon, I'm like Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Okay.
You can't see me, but my face is beet red right now because I'm choking again.
Oh no.
Excuse me. Okay. Must soldier on.
Carry so, on.
As the light does, you know, the light continues on its journey, so shall I.
Yes.
So next, the light starts to cover half of the moon's face. This is the first quarter moon. If you haven't already done so during this moon, it is the time to feel inspired and put that plan into action. Step into your intention. Fill it fully. If you can't feel that at this point in time, that's okay too. Instead, ask yourself why and be honest. You know, journal about it, you know. So just have a conversation with yourself, a private conversation, no judgment, no shame. Nothing wrong has been done here if you're not feeling that inspired, that time to take action. Just be sure instead, how about spend time doing something you really enjoy? Just try to be doing something. Indulge yourself in your favorite Netflix show. You may be sitting on the couch, but you are still getting inspired by that TV show.
Yes, 100%.
So this is a good time to receive love. So definitely be sure to give yourself some love during that time, especially, you know, if you're not feeling what you feel you should be feeling, it is okay. Next, we have a crescent of darkness is all that remains once the waxing gibbous moon is at its peak. This moon is a reminder that the journey is not yet over, but still slow down and observe your intention in action. Are you staying committed to your course or have new directions or paths been illuminated by the growing moonlight? It's okay if paths shift. Change really is the only constant. So listen to your intention, your intuition, and press on. Find your second wind during this time too. If you can, of course, and push for that manifestation by remaining vigilant. Cast a related spell if you are so inclined, you know, a spell related to your intention. And remind yourself what it looks like fully manifested. And again, if you're still, you know, that intention didn't kick off right, you know, that's okay. Keep working on why. And, you know, keep building on that focus and really challenge what is getting in your way. Journal on it, meditate on it. You know, don't have to take action on it yet. So once the light fills from one side of your face to the next, finally, we've reached the full moon. Energy is at its abundance. This is the time for fruition, for manifestations. Gratify yourself over your accomplishments from the past week and a half. Sometimes, though, that's not always the case. And that's why, you know, I was recommending to kind of pay attention to that. Because during the full moon, there can be an outflow of energy. And maybe, just maybe, you're taking on too much. You have too much going on in your life or something that's really, really taking too much of your energy. You're kind of having this negative pull of your energy, you're wasting it, sort of, maybe. I was trying to avoid that word, but that's just where my brain kept going, so I just went with it. ask yourself, what manifestations or focus no longer serves me? What energy expenditure is netting no return? You know, what are you putting out that you're not getting back? And really think on it, look back at your journals and prepare yourself to let it go. Join the journey of depleting light, which is coming next after the full moon, and set the intention of letting it go. And also I'll share a little bit later. I have a ritual for the full moon for this specific letting it go sort of thing. And you want to, the thing is to tell it goodbye, basically tell it farewell. But moving on, next, a sliver of crescent darkness now is breaking against the light as the moon starts to wane. We first enter the waning gibbous moon, and at this time, you may still be benefiting from the full moon's abundance. Be sure to pause during this time and practice gratitude. Be thankful for your accomplishments. You know, you did that, and show yourself some gratitude. And then for those who initiated like a farewell at the full moon, focus on the relinquishing you've started. This is going to be a hard journey, but the moon's got your back as she wanes. So, and the waning moons are, they're time for undoing. So undo the wasted, expended energy, the toxic relationships, the harmful activities. Start to get those out of your life. The light of the moon grows half empty. This is taking us into the last quarter or the third quarter moon. You have already begun undoing. So now is the time for breaking the bad habits. Acknowledge what is not working. Use this time to banish the bad habits you are releasing or the bad habits that are keeping you from relinquishing. And this, during the waning time, it's also really great for banishment magic. So use these different moons for that. And then finally, when only a crescent of light remains, we are in the waning crescent moon. This is the final phase before we return to center, before we return to the new moon. This moon phase encourages continued banishing efforts as a final purging stage. But do take it easy during this moon. The waning moon is also a very rest, relax, reflect type of moon phase. So do just that on how far you've come during this lunar cycle. You know, don't look at what has been achieved. Just reflect on how, you know, no matter what you've done, you've still come a far way from the last new moon, you know, and at that point, kind of reflect on it and start to gather up the new seeds in preparation for the new moon, you know, new seeds of intention and all that. So yeah, that's the full moon, the lunar cycle month season.
That was incredible. Holy crap. Seriously, that was like, I felt like I was doing yoga, but moon style.
Yeah. Yes. That's exactly, I like yoga.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. Like, that was such a beautiful kind of way you transitioned every single moon to the next phase. And I thought that was incredibly amazing and very, very sexy, Raven.
Wow. Ooh, thank you.
Yes. Wow. That was
even.
I'm like taking it back. Holy crap. That story was so beautiful. But, you know, like we kind of touched base with this a little earlier. What is the difference between a dark moon and the new moon?
Yes. So this is, I love this topic because, okay, before I start rambling on, I like to preface with there is no right or wrong answer to distinguishing between the two. there's no exact science. It is what it is. But I've dug a little bit of basic research. So the dark moon, back before we had modern technology, before we had the high powered telescope, scientists, lay people alike, could not see the moon for like 3 days. And so it was dark. It was the dark moon. The new moon was when they, not not the crescent, but when they first saw that little bitty sliver of light starting to come through, that is when they, you know, denounced it. The new moon is here. Scientifically, the new moon is when the earth, I mean, is when the moon is in conjunction with the sun and the earth. And in other words, it's when it's right in between the two. And this isn't necessarily like a lunar node point. This is just in relativity, not necessarily it's where it is on its path around the earth. But anyways, and this, so that older distinction, I feel, at least for me, I like to apply it to my own lunar ritual work. So I see the dark moon as metaphorically the twin sister of the new moon. It's kind of the dark moon was born, you know, a couple minutes before her sister. She is pegged. I kind of pegged that like the day before the calendar new moon. I'll use ranges, like the percentage ranges, to kind of help me determine, because sometimes the dark moon and the new moon can be celebrated on the same day. For me, the dark moon is between the 0.9 to 0%. And then that percentage starts over. And so the new moon is the 0.1 to the 0.9%. Full 1% for me is the start of the crescent. But I mean, you know, like I said, it's no exact science. That's just kind of how I help my brain figure it out. on the dark moon, I like to ground myself in the newfound, like it's okay. Let me start that over. The dark moon is the day I close the door on whatever I initiated releasing on the full moon. I ground myself, I meditate, and I feel myself in the newfound space. I let that newfound space kind of find its, like, so I'm loaded with intentions. Like I have so much I want to get done. So I let all those things kind of fill that space basically and find what fits. And that's kind of, and I'll do that with like a review of my priorities. I'll start thinking on what intention fills that space the best, you know, and then I will set that as the new moon. The dark moon's kind of like the buffer. It's that night to help me prepare for the new moon, because otherwise all day, the day of the new moon, I'm going to be rushing around trying to get ready. So having that buffer really helps for sure.
Yeah. And you know, guys, when she was speaking about the percentages, I know nothing about that just quite yet. But there is, and this is not a sponsorship, I promise you, I'm not that cool yet. I use a app called Moon Calendar. And so that app is really cool. It's very intuitive. It's very easy to use. It tells you like what phase the moon is and what percentage it is and what moon it is like in the zodiac too, or like in astrology. So it'll be like, we'll talk about this in astrology episode later, but it's like moon rising in like Scorpio or something, you know, it's something really cool and into like, just, it sounds so cool and fun to me, but I just like, I want to tell you, Raven, that I really like that you had the dark moon and the new moon kind of come together as sisters, because, you know, it's a very debated topic about like which one you should use. Cause you know, when you hear the term dark moon, it just sounds like it's evil and that you shouldn't do anything if you want to be like a good witch or like a good person. And, you know, I like that, you know, you explain that it's not the case, you know? So, yeah, what I wanted to talk about after this was, you know, I had a really intense dream the other night. And it was about the triple moon goddess. And it was just so perfect that we talk about the moon phases today. And I had the dream the night before. And, you know, like an idiot, I had a dream about the, you know, the triple moon goddess. And I couldn't even, they told me their names and I couldn't even write them down because I just was like, I'm tired, I can't sleep. And, you know, like I couldn't write it down fast enough and I forgot immediately. But I was obsessed with coming, like finding information about the triple moon goddess. And the kind of research that I did, I found quite a bit. And Raven, I don't know if you want to go into that first, or I can give you my definition first, whichever you prefer. but I definitely want to talk about the Triple Moon Goddess, like 100%.
Yeah. How about you start? I've been talking a lot.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah, no worries. So the Triple Moon Goddess, you have basically the Maiden, the Mother, and the Crone. So with the Maiden, it starts with a crescent moon. And I believe it starts with the waxing crescent. And the Maiden is represented by the waxing moon, like I said. And it embodies purity, youth, creation, pleasure, being naive, and new beginnings. And the Maiden invites you to explore your spirituality, creativity, and desires. So I feel like that's really, really cool because I feel like I'm the Maiden like all the time. I'm always getting into my spirituality and stuff. But then, you know, as I grow older, hopefully I become the Mother. And the Mother is represented by the full moon, and it embodies love, fertility, nourishment, responsibility, patience, power and self-care. And the Mother invites you to master giving love and receiving love. So I think that's very powerful. Mm-hmm. And that leads to the Crone, which will be your granny days. It's represented by the fading waning moon. The Crone embodies fulfillment, endings, wisdom, death, and culmination. The Crone invites you to accept that without death, there is no birth. So those are the three phases of the goddesses that are out there. And I think it's very, very powerful because in each phase, you're basically like worshiping like a specific goddess. And, you know, we'll talk about like gods and goddesses and deities another episode. But I know that with moon phases, you can absolutely kind of pair them with gods and goddesses, right? Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like that was kind of what I was talking about with my mom. That was one of the main things she kind of wanted to share was like how she sees the triple goddess within the moon cycle. Mm-hmm. The waning moons, as well as the new moon, it, for her, is the Crone. And as she described it to me, I kind of envisioned, I took it to mean the Crone is like the grand elder that is really close to you. You go to visit them, you sit down with a cup of tea, and they look at you with their sweet little wrinkled face, and they go,
"That's awesome.
What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? Why are you not planning? Why are you not, you know, what do you want to do? What are your intentions? Figure out your intentions. You need to get moving. Life is too short." Yeah. You know, she's the initiator. She's the seeing the youth to fruition. She's sending us off. And it's the Maiden that comes in with the waxing moon. She takes your hand. She's so excited. Or it could even be, you know, you could think of this as like you as a kid taking your hand and saying, let's go. We've got a lot of work to do. We got to plan. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to go. And she's just full of creativity and excitement to get going. As you know, and then this figure then becomes the Mother at the full moon. You know, you've worked so hard, you've done these things, or you've been exposed to what's holding you back. And so the Mother is there in her full glory, you know, greeting you, congratulating you, helping you give yourself your own self-gratitude, and as well as, you know, calming you if, you know, you didn't do a whole lot, and showing you that it's okay. Let's sit down. Let's prepare to let go. Let's, you know, prepare to start over. And then that's, you know, she takes you back to your grand elder for them to scold you one more time and send you on your way.
I love it. It's like a whole family. You know, you have the daughter, the mom, and the grandma, three generations of beauty, you know. Yes. I think that's very cool. So, you know, going back to what you said earlier, I'm very curious, what are your rituals for like the new moon or like your full moon?
Yeah, so I still need to write my ritual for the new moon. That will be the intention I set on this coming new moon.
Love it.
But for the full moon, and mind you, I piece this together based on rituals I've done in the past, kind of weaving together bits and pieces of other people's work into something that I like. So this is not, you know, this is not solely mine. This is kind of a a witchy quilt, if you will, of a ritual. So, and it's just bullet points. It's very simple, very basic. It's more mental work. Yeah, I'll just get into it. So there are two things that you will need. You will need a bowl and you will need some water and paper and a pen. That's it. I promise. Yeah, that's all.
Love the ingredient list.
Yes, simple. Yeah. Keep it simple.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, the ritual starts with, I'm thinking the witch is sitting on the floor, legs crossed, or maybe even laying down, and you start reflecting on yourself. Define your beliefs, your habits, your hobbies, your relationships, whatever you pour time and energy into. And then question the return. Because if you are only just constantly putting energy out and not receiving, you will burn yourself out. You know, your habits, your hobbies, your relationships, you know, even if you are a giver, they still need to serve you in some way. And the ones that don't serve you, for this full moon, this is the time to pick those out. You know, fill yourself. So once you have that, that thing that no longer serves you, fill yourself with memories of it. Keep it positive if possible. If this thing brings you harm or someone else, don't make up positive memories. Maybe instead focus on accepting it, not forgiving, like kind of accepting that is what's happened and preparing to move forward. And with these, you know, either thinking of memories or preparing to move forward, think of it, you're coming to this thing's wake, this thing's funeral. You're preparing to release it metaphorically to Valhalla. In your mind, you can, you know, see yourself build that ship, see yourself knock that arrow and light it on fire and release it. When you feel an authentic respect, I'm sorry, my throat.
You're getting choked up. It's very intense.
Oh, no. So once you feel like that authentic respect or acceptance or appreciation for what you're ready to let go of, then write a letter on a piece of paper addressed to this thing. I'm sorry, hold on. Okay, on this letter, so this letter is supposed to be like a farewell. You're, you know, be raw, be honest in this letter. Write as much or as less as you want, because you're going to take this letter and you're going to put it in your bowl of water. And you're going to take it outside if you can. You can put it in a windowsill or whatever, you know, if you can kind of get it into the full moon light, and overnight, let that letter dissolve. And then the following morning, whatever is left over of the letter, bury it into the earth. That way to allow that energy that you put into that letter to transmute and recycle within her soils. And then after that, that would be the end of the ritual. You know, you'd nothing really to like call a circle for. It's just kind of a routine, especially if you're ready to let something go.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Raven. I love that. I almost called it Robin. Yeah. That was really weird. Raven, yes. I do something very similar to that. But instead of putting it in like a bowl of water, I like to burn the shit out of it. You know,
yes.
Like, you know, if I'm like really angry about like letting go of some of my intentions and like, you know, getting rid of toxins, I like to just burn the shit out of it. And so that way,
I like that.
After, you know, it's burned, I just cleanse it with my moon water and boom, it's done. It's no longer there. I don't need it in my life anymore. you know?
Yes. So, that could be really beneficial. Like if you're feeling a lot of like animosity or like you're feeling you want revenge, yeah, instead of going for that revenge, write that letter, light it on fire, watch it burn.
Happy Hunger Games, guys. That shit's going to burn.
Yes.
I really want to say thank you, Raven, for doing this episode with me, or the start of the portal. It definitely kind of just ties everything in together of what I want to talk about in this podcast, right? So we talked about, you know, Tools of the Witch. We talked about the Book of Shadows and Grimoires. We talked about the moon phases and now some rituals. You know, I think we covered a lot of different things that beginner witches really want to kind of just hear about. And I think it's very important that, you know, beginner witches, when you're waking up, just know that you're not alone. You have me, you have Raven, you have, you know, a lot of different people out there who want to help you. And so, you know, I just want to leave that parting message that you're not alone and we love you, or whoever is coming our way, we love you already. So, you know.
Yeah. If you see me on the Discord and you need someone to talk to, message me. I will answer.
Yeah. And Raven, do you want to give your Instagram name? So that way, if, you know, we just want to find and talk to you more about like moon phases and stuff, they can reach you.
Absolutely. On Instagram, I am Quote the Geek, kind of like Quote the Raven, but I'm a geek.
I love it.
Thank you.
Yes. And guys, my Instagram is always on my the page for Witchcast. It's going to be Witchcast9. You can reach me there. You can DM me if you want to. If you want to talk about like magical stuff, it doesn't even have to be for a collaboration. You can talk to me whatever you guys want to talk about, you know? So I just want to say thank you again to Raven. Thank you, listeners, for taking the time to listen to this podcast. And like I said, happy Friday. And, you know, we'll see you guys in the next one. Thanks, Raven.
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry about my coughing.
No, you're good. Everyone has a cough. You know, you're totally fine. I can hear you just fine. So you're good.